Before the 8 a.m. service, one of the ushers asked me, What's with the transfiguration? I said, listen to the sermon. The best way to understand what is going on this mountaintop experience that we call the Transfiguration is to read what leads up to it. This section of Luke begins with a light going on for Peter. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter blurts out, "The Messiah of God." Peter's proclamation is the turning point, the hinge in the gospel. After it, Jesus pivots toward Jerusalem, and he begins to tell his disciples that as the Messiah, he must suffer, be rejected, killed, and raised. Peter doesn't like this, but when he objects, Jesus rebukes him. What Jesus says next to his disciples is nicely paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in his translation of the Bible called The Message. Jesus says, "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how." Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want, but lose yourself? What could you ever trade for your soul? Jesus is beginning to prepare Peter and the other disciples for the dark days ahead. And what happens on that mountain is part of that preparation. Jesus, Peter, James, and John hike up for a prayer retreat. And as Jesus prays, his face begins to shine like the sun, and his clothing becomes brilliant with light. Of course, this reminds us of Moses, who came down from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments with a face so radiant he had to wear a veil so as not to blind the Hebrews. As Jesus prays, Moses and Elijah appear with him. They are two of the greatest figures of Jesus' religious tradition. Moses represents the law, and Elijah the prophets. Why are they there? They are speaking to Jesus about his upcoming departure. The Greek word for departure is exodus, his exodus from Jerusalem. A deliberate parallel is being drawn here between what Moses accomplished in the Exodus and what Jesus will accomplish in Jerusalem on the cross. Moses led the Hebrew slaves to freedom. Jesus will lead all people enslaved to sin to freedom. Peter's response to this revelation is so human. He says, "Let's stay here forever." If Peter had modern technology, he would have asked them all to pose for a selfie. But the glory of God can't be captured. And God breaks in at this moment to make that clear to all of them. A cloud appears, and not just any cloud. This is the cloud that enveloped Moses on the mountain and led the people of Israel in the desert. This is the cloud that signals God's presence. And out of the cloud, God's voice rings out these words, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." God wants Peter and the other disciples to know that Jesus is greater than Moses and Elijah. Jesus is God's own Son. This too is important preparation for the days ahead when Jesus will be tortured and killed and resurrected. Aren't mountaintop experiences always helpful for the days we spend in the valley of the shadow of death? We're all tempted to think the mountaintop experience is the pinnacle of our Christian faith. This is it. I found it. And like Peter, we want to capture it or replicate it over and over again. God knows we need those moments when we are convinced of God's presence and the reality of Jesus. We need them to prepare us for the days we will spend in the lightless valleys, for the difficult times we all struggle through at some point in our lives. These mountaintop experiences are a little like the experience we have of staring at a light, then closing our eyes. Even though our eyes are closed, we can still see the light because the image lingers on the retina. During our darkest days, we can still see the light of Jesus shining through because his image lingers on the eye of our heart. I'll give you an example. I've lived 40 years now as a committed Christian with varying degrees of faithfulness. And during that time, I've had many experiences that have convinced me of the reality of God's presence and purpose in my life. In comparison to the brightness of the Transfiguration, they might be no brighter than a bicycle light, but they've been bright enough for me. Some years ago, I called the nurse's station at my mother's assisted living facility to find out how she was doing. I lived in Amarillo at the time, my mother in central Pennsylvania. The nurse informed me that my mom, who had suffered with Alzheimer's for many years, was dying and that I should come right away. I booked the first flight I could get. Unfortunately, I was seated between two businessmen who made very loud and inane comments throughout the entire flight, back and forth, just right in front of me. They were like two roosters bantering back and forth. I finally just tuned them out, took out my prayer book, and read the service called Ministry at the Time of Death. To myself. These were the words I hoped I would be able to say at my mother's side in a few hours. When I finally arrived at the airport in my hometown, my brother met me with the news that my mother had already passed away. "How long ago?" I asked. He told me, and I realized she died just as I was reading the prayers on the plane. God, who is not limited by time and space, had heard those prayers, and in some way, I believe my mother also heard them. I had a sense that they had eased her passage from this life to the next. It was only a faint impression of light, this apparent coincidence of timing. But all my mountaintop experiences have taught me to recognize the presence of the living God. All light, even the faintest, belongs to that great and eternal glory that was revealed to Peter and James and John all those years ago. God said, "This is my chosen one. Listen to him." What can I say? Now is the time to worship, pray, study, question, read, go on retreat, journal. Do anything you can think of that will draw you into the experience of knowing God. Don't wait until the moment of crisis is upon you. Let God begin to fill you now with a reservoir of light from which you will be able to draw in years to come. The dark days will always come for us. But look closely, and you will see traces of God's light piercing the darkness to bring comfort and the assurance of God's loving presence. Amen.